The Three What's of Ephesians 1, by Vladimir Galesnov, 1877 to 1921. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. Paul would have us know three things. Each of these begins with the word what. What is the expectation of his calling? What the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints? And what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing? Paul was deeply stirred in his heart and greatly exercised in his mind that all of his readers would fully realize the tremendous power of these three what's. Later in this letter, he will deal with three that's, chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. Ever since God started to shine in our hearts with a view to the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, the eyes of our heart have been enlightened to look forward toward receiving sufficient spiritual wisdom for a more complete understanding of Paul's prison letters. During his earthly career, our Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray concerning the earthly kingdom, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. Through Paul, our Lord Christ Jesus in his celestial glory is teaching us how to pray for a full appreciation of our spiritual blessings among the celestials, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Thus the apostle is praying an intelligent prayer so seldom prayed in these days. It is not often that we hear repeated this prayer that Paul prayed. In Ephesians 1, verse 17, we learn what he asked of God for his readers, that God may be giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. The first what, the expectation of God's calling. When Paul wrote to the Colossians saying that he wanted them to remain in what they had heard, he warned them to allow no one to remove them from the expectation which they had heard before in the word of the truth of the evangel. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 23. The second what? God's allotment among the saints. The lot takes all determination out of the hands of man and puts it into the hands of God. All life, all history, is due to divine allotment. Apart from the awards for faithful service, almost all of the treasures and honors which are to be divided among his own will be distributed by lot. Our lot was cast by God in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 11. This includes each and everything which God does for us. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials, verse 3. He chooses us in Christ before the disruption of the world, before sin was existent, verse 4. He designates us beforehand for sonship, verse 5. He graces us in his beloved Son, verse 6. Lavishes the riches of his grace on us, verse 8. Operates all in accord with the counsel of his will, verse 11. With the aim in view that we should be for the laud of his glory, we who have a prior expectation in Christ, verse 12. Since it was God who cast our lot, it is almost redundant to say that it is God's allotment of which we are joint enjoyers, as indicated in Ephesians 3, verse 6. Hence our second what is called the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, verse 18. The third what, his power for us believers. The last what, in verse 19, is the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing. He tells us how we can know this power and its greatness. It is according to his mighty power which was operative in Christ when rousing him from among the dead, verse 20. This is wonderful, but it is not all. Besides rousing him, he is seating him at his right hand among the celestials, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending. Verse 21. Again, wonderful, but it is not all. Besides rousing and seating him, he subjects all under his feet. Verse 22. Again, wonderful, but again it is not all. Besides rousing and seating and subjecting, he gives him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body. Then he states these marvelous words, the complement of the one who is completing the all in all. A.E. Knoshin, the Concordant Commentary, p. 289, offers this explanation. The sovereignty over the earth is given to the nation of Israel, according to the prophets. The sovereignty over the celestials is the portion of the ecclesia, which is his body. Between the two, the entire universe is brought under the administration of Christ. Thus, his body is the pleroma, or complement, which fills up the lack which the earth's deliverance would still leave in the celestial realms. Its function is to fulfill God's purpose for the entire universe, only part of which he is able to accomplish through his people Israel.